This recording is a ministry of Grace Bible Church of Pleasant Hill, California. We want to thank you for listening and invite you to visit us each Lord's Day on our campus located at 40 Cleveland Road, Pleasant Hill, California, or at any time at gbcph.org.
Beautifully sung and beautifully prayed. That the creator of the universe, the one who flung the stars into space, billions upon billions upon billions, every one of them has a name. And he is the one who named them. And the fact that as you prayed, he would allow us to come before him and he would hear our praises and he would acknowledge them. We're not too small. It's what Lydia teaches us, that he sees us and he cares. Beautiful stories at lunch about how many of you came to faith and your story of how the Spirit drew you to the Lord. And what greater truth could there be? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I love to tell the story. It is the greatest story ever told. The story of God who sits above the circle of the earth, Job says, involves himself in our lives. There's a lady you'll know well in the New Testament, and her name is Mary. There's about six Marys in the biblical record. You know, that's funny because I mean, we know that. There's six, and you have to go like, is this Mary, or is this that Mary, or is this that Mary? But I'm in a study of Zechariah. Do you know how many Zechariahs are in the Bible? Take a guess. One. You would say one, two. 29 Zechariahs in the Bible. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm sure it's one of those names we kind of read and pass right over. I don't know. I didn't take time to look them up, but I thought that was very interesting. You know that there are 1,189 chapters of the Bible. That's not so many, right? 31,102 verses in the Bible. This will astound you. It only takes 72 hours to read the entire Bible. That's on a seventh grade reading proficiency level. So we might have to add a few days, but that's pretty interesting, isn't it? And we think to ourselves, why don't we read all of those 31,000 verses? Just 1,100 chapters, and you know, some of those chapters are like that. Of course, some of them are like that, but still, 72 hours to read the very Word of God. I was back in Michigan working last week, and we had a little seminar, and Kay Arthur, if you've heard of her from Precept Ministries, and she's 90 years old, living, I know, that's too close for her to be gone, right? I'm just so afraid. She's just such a lovely person, has impacted my family in beautiful ways and in pretty impactful ways. But I heard her say, 90 years old, I'm living in an assisted living, and she said, don't edit this out. She said, every book of the Bible contains the words of God. And nothing but the words of God. I thought that was beautiful. We know that, right? But we don't stop and think. I mean, this whole entire Bible is the Word of God. He gave it. He inspired it. He wrote it. And she also said, if you're reading books about the Bible instead of the Bible, yeah, everybody in the room was kind of like, okay. And then she looked at the camera and went, stop it. And she said, I guess as an 90-year-old woman, I can tell you what to do. So stop it if you're doing that. I thought that was pretty good. It's the Word of God. It's the words of life. And we see these portraits of women in the Bible and we think, God saw them from the inside out. And He still wrote their story. It's the same with you and me. You know, the end of the book of Malachi says that God is writing a book of remembrance for all of those who fear Him. That's pretty neat, isn't it? You have your own creative memories. You remember when we used to do that? I mean, I didn't. My friends did. We would say, let's do it, and they would do it. But I didn't. But how we used to put all the pictures, like if you went to the beach, you put a picture of where you went, and you put the word. Did y'all do that? Yeah, good. I feel better. Yeah. I would have fit in right here. Good, right here. But they would do a page for everywhere you'd been, what you do in life, what you... It's the picture of God saying, I'm writing a book of remembrance for those. Let's turn over there for a moment, just so you can see it. It's the last of the Old Testament, Malachi. In my Bible, it's page 885, but I know that's not going to help you. But it's right before you get to Matthew, and it's a beautiful, beautiful word. I don't have my Bible. I'm using this Bible, which is mine, but it's not my Bible. And I can't find one thing in it. It's terrible. I thought it would be lighter to travel with, and it is. But I hate to do what people do, but it's what secretaries did in my day. Oh, y'all, look at this, chapter 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. He sees us. He's writing a book of remembrance about our lives. It's beautiful, isn't it? Well, we turn over there. It was hard to choose which verses to read because Mary Magdalene, unlike the other women, is mentioned in every one of the Gospels. That's how significant her story is. Mary Magdalene, she's written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, Mary Magdalene, or we could say Mary of Magdala. Now, the Queen of Sheba, we don't know if her name was Queen of Sheba or was just telling us she's the Queen of Sheba. But we know for Mary Magdalene, her name was Mary. And she came from the town of Magdala. Just within the last decade or so, they have uncovered the town of Magdala. And you go and it is extensive. I mean, it's like more than your eye can take in. That to look this way, and they've excavated much of the city there, much of the city all around, and in the center, there's a temple, well, a synagogue, a place where they came to worship God. And there in that synagogue is a square piece of stone, concrete, and that is where they would take the scrolls and unroll them and read the word of God. Well, when you pick up the story about Mary Magdalene, it says that Jesus went about from town to town, village to village, and would teach and do miracles. So Mary Magdalene was a part of those miracles, being able to see it with her own eyes, to feel the presence of Jesus. Magdala is right off the waterway, Sea of Galilee. I mean, you just step off the Sea of Galilee and go just a few yards. I'm not very good with, I would say probably 30 yards, and you're right there in the city of Magdala. So look with me in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, this same event is mentioned in Luke and in Mark. Now, soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another. This is Jesus, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, so you know that the apostles traveled with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Wow. Mary Magdalene had been there, and Jesus healed her of demonic oppression. In fact, he didn't just cast one demon out of her. He cast 7 evil spirits out of her. Now, what do you think her life was like before that? Have you ever known anybody that had some great forces seemingly from the other side come against somebody? Sometimes they have depression. Sometimes they have suicidal thoughts. Sometimes self-harm is a big part of that. Sometimes they express a lot of hatred toward people and their family members, especially people that are trying to help them. It would not have been uncommon for Mary Magdalene to have exhibited those things. Magdala was only a town, I think they said, of about, it was a small village. Unless I've gotten it mixed up, 10 to 15,000 at the very most. So you can imagine her name went around town. Oh, stay away from her. She has 7 demonic spirits within her. And then we come to this verse here in chapter 8, and it's very comforting. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. She must have felt like an outcast often. You know that because of her history, it was like, I don't know if they've heard about, so maybe I won't go there. I won't go into that. You know, they had their shops in the Agora, and they were just little, one shop after another, and you would go do your shopping right there in the middle of town in a square. And so I can only imagine how she felt like everyone was looking at her, and everyone was thinking, she is a girl that's no good. Well, when Jesus healed her of her diseases, it says here, and in Mark that she started following him. She and a group of women from there, one of them being Herod's steward's wife, began to follow Jesus. And they didn't just follow him. They gave monetary support. It tells us that in other places of the New Testament. So she must have been a lady of some means if she could help support the itinerant ministry of Jesus and the apostles. So the men, the apostles, and Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and a couple of the other, Susanna, would follow Jesus around and would support his ministry. They would pay for the food. They would make sure they had something to eat. It's a beautiful picture of one who was so thankful for what he had done for her. Now I want to ask you, is there anybody here? Now I know it's not everybody, but is there anybody here that the Lord truly delivered you from the domain of darkness? That you can honestly say, me, or my daughter, or someone in my family, or someone I've known in town, God literally picked them up out of darkness and placed them over in the kingdom of light. I don't know of anyone that he does that for, that they get to feel the darkness go and the light come in, that they say, yeah, it wasn't a big deal, but it was a pretty nice thing. You can only imagine how Mary Magdalene felt. Now, about 500 AD, they say, I don't know exactly, but two people wrote in their story that Mary Magdalene was the one who washed Jesus' feet with her hair, with her tears. There's no biblical account of that. So somebody just kind of mixed up the story. But it doesn't matter, right? She still had the gratitude. She still had been saved from the domain of darkness. Well, turn with me over to John, and we'll pick up part of her story there in John. You know this part of the story, I'm sure. Look with me at John. Well, let's go by 6:44 on our way by. Okay, John 6:44. Somebody read it when you get there. Too hard. Anybody? Oh, good. No one can come to the Father except by me. It's the story of Mary Magdalene's life. She had to come by way of the Father. So keep turning over to John chapter 20, and we'll pick up the story there. Now, if we went through all of the verses about her, which we don't have time today, we see Mary Magdalene, after she started following Jesus around from village to village and town to town, and she got to see miracle after miracle. She must have laid down at night going, oh my, did he really do that? Did that really happen? Because she had been with Jesus, and she followed him around. She heard him say to the religious leaders, 3 days, and they're going to take the Son of Man, and they're going to beat him. They're going to flog him. They're going to crucify him. She had heard him say, if you will lift up, and I will draw all men unto myself. She had heard him say, you can sweep a house clean, but if you sweep that house clean, he was speaking of a man's heart, then anything can come and dwell within it if you leave it empty. But if you sweep that house clean and somebody moves in, he was speaking of the Spirit of God, then nothing else can come and dwell there. She kept hearing all these things Jesus was saying, but don't you think it must have quickened her heart every time he said, it is appointed to the Son of Man to go to Jerusalem, and he will be killed. He will be crucified. And after 3 days, he will rise again. She heard that. But I'm sure she couldn't even fathom what that meant. But Mary Magdalene, when we see the picture around the cross, she was there. The disciples were gone, except for John. They had run. They were afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen. They had heard the same things Mary Magdalene had heard. And we see Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. Why would she do that? Oh, don't you think it's because her heart was so tied to him and her love for him? Not just what he had done, not just for the miracle in her life, but being around Jesus, walking the waysides and hearing him teach and preach and seeing the kindness and the compassion that he had for the people that he came across and how he would heal them, not so it would be something big and sensational, but so that life would be better for them. And she couldn't leave the cross. She couldn't run. Her heart just would not let her. She was devoted to Christ. Wow. So we pick up the story here in John chapter 20. And let's start reading at verse 16. So he then handed him, capital H, if you've got a translation that capitalizes the pronouns of God. So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote on the inscription and put it on the cross. It is written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. I'm in chapter 19. Glad I caught that. 19 and verse 20. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. You see the mockery of what they were saying? Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And we go on down, verse 25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother, the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said, woman, behold your son. We go on down to verse 31. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, was Passover, asked Pilate to let their legs be broken so that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who was crucified with him, but coming to Jesus when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. We go on over a little further, verse 37. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take down the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted him permission. Nicodemus, who first had come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pounds of weight. So chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. She had watched. She watched the crucifixion. She stood at the foot of the cross. She could not wait till the next morning, and she could take the spices and she could minister to the physical body of Jesus because she loved him. She was the first one there. The story goes on to say that she went to the tomb. Matthew tells us that the women who were going with her, there were a couple that went with her, a couple of Marys that went with her, that when they were on their way, they said, "Who's going to roll away the stone?" They knew it was going to be difficult, but don't you know they had to have trust in the one that they had been walking with? To know that he would work out some way, because he had said, after 3 days, he will rise again. But it had not sunk into them, because it says after she got to the tomb, she looked in. I mean, the stone was rolled away. It was removed. I think the ESV uses the word, the stone had been removed. And removed, the word for removed in the Greek is taken out of the picture. It wasn't even anything they had to deal with. She looked in, and there was no Jesus there. So you know the story. She took off running. She went back to tell Peter and John. And Peter and John, when they heard the story, I think probably the other disciples were like, "Oh, sure, you're just wanting to have one of those figments of your imagination, thinking Jesus isn't really gone." And she goes and tells Peter and John. Well, Peter and John decide to start running themselves. And John calls himself the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. He doesn't ever name himself. But they get there and they look in the tomb. And the face covering is folded neatly. Oh, did she believe? There was something within her that she could not leave him. She still could not leave. And she says to the gardener, "Where is Jesus? Where have they laid him?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she came back. She stood. She was weeping. And the word for weeping in the Greek there is wailing. She was wailing at the tomb. And one behind her said, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher. He was her teacher. She recognized his voice. Jesus had spoken to Mary Magdalene. She had followed him all the way through. She was the one left standing. She was the one seeking for him. Her heart was broken. And Jesus honored her by saying, "Mary." Now, you don't want to read too much in that. And, you know, it's so distasteful to see all the women's movement now. And like, well, Jesus talked to Mary Magdalene first, and that must mean that women have this. And all. No, it's not that story at all. The story is that Jesus took the heart of a woman who was completely devoted to him, and he spoke her name. "My sheep know my voice." And he said her name, and she knew who he was. I want to ask you, what kind of devotion does it take to follow Jesus from village to village, when he's being arrested, when he's being tried, when he's being hung on the cross, when he's being laid in the tomb, and to come back the next morning and say, "I want to be here," when they anoint him for burial? "I just want to be around. I just want to be with Jesus." What about you? Is there any time that you could say, when the going was tough, I stayed with Jesus? I wanted to be with him. I didn't care what the rest of the world said at that point. I didn't care what the family said. I just didn't care. I just wanted to be with him. I've heard some of your stories at lunch and during the break, and you've found that. You found that true in your own life. You wanted to be with Jesus. It wasn't something that you just had this, you had to do it to check off the list. I don't know about you or if it was in this part of the country, but down where I was from, on Saturday you got out your little Sunday envelope and it had an 8-point checking system. I can tell by the way you look, you don't know. And it's a good thing. It's a Southern thing, and you would get out your little church envelope and you would check, "Read my Bible every day. Invited a guest to Sunday school. I prayed every," you know, and it was 8 points. If you got all 8 points, you went to Sunday school and your teacher was like, "Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you for doing that." Well, it sounds good, but I want to tell you, for this little preacher's girl, it was like, "Hey, I got all 8 of mine. There's no one like me here. I get 8 points every week." It wasn't a pretty thing. We don't want to do it for that. We don't want to do anything for the Lord that we can check off. That's not the purpose of why we do what we do. We follow Jesus with a devotion of Mary Magdalene, someone who is with him through thick and through thin. He doesn't mind us questioning, "Lord, why did you let that happen? Why are we in this mess? What can we do?" It's not that he minds it. But think how much richer life is when we say, "Oh, I'm going to stick with Jesus. He is the answer. He is my all in all. He is my everything. Through thick and through thin." Can you only imagine for Mary Magdalene, now in heaven. Can you only imagine what it is for her to remember the times that she stuck by Jesus? Let me ask you something else. Can you only imagine having not stuck by Jesus? How you would feel in his presence? The going was too rough. The going was too tough, Jesus. I just couldn't stand. I thought you had abandoned me. And he says, in the New Testament, he repeats what he said in the Old Testament. I have made the promise to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's just not going to happen. And Mary Magdalene's life teaches us that he is honored when we stay with him, when we stick with him. These are hard days. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's difficult days. Things have kind of changed for us on the horizon. Not anything that God can't handle or won't handle, but it's making days a little, not a little, it's making days more difficult. The world's in chaos. A lot of the situations that we know with companies and with even with weather and all kinds of things seem to be more difficult. Sometimes it seems like you're plodding and you're trying to keep going. You're trying to put one foot in front of the other and you're going in circles. Hosea says it's like having holes, pockets with holes in them. Our life, it's just difficult walking. And Jesus would say to you, none of these situations are beyond what I can handle. You're my children. I watch over you. I keep my word. I watch over my word to perform it, Jeremiah says. It's the picture in Hebrew. And the word picture that goes along with what he was saying was, I see the word of God. I've written the word of God. I see it. And my eyes are right here. And I'm keeping my eyes on my word to perform it. So what's a promise in the Bible for you? What's a promise that you're holding on to, that you're clinging to? Don't give up. Don't give up. His promises are yes and amen. That means that every promise is a yes. I don't take that away. Amen means so be it. So I've made a promise. It's sure. I'm watching over it to make sure it happens. So don't give up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Mary Magdalene never gave up. Boy, when the things were so tough, she never gave up. She followed through. She stayed with Jesus. He could count on her. He could see within her what the rest of the world couldn't see. Can imagine the times when she felt like, I am just a second class follower of Christ. I've had some things in my past that I'm really kind of ashamed of. If people really knew who I am, if they really followed my past, moving into the future, they would say, she's no good. She's not the type that Jesus calls. And Mary Magdalene is a great teacher. That he takes one who doesn't seem to deserve a touch of the Master's hand. And he gives her honor because of her faithfulness to him. She's the first woman missionary. She went back telling the others, I have seen Jesus, and he is alive. He is here for us. And joy broke loose. I pray that'll be the same for our lives. On both pictures that she gives us, the picture that you care about the downtrodden. You care about those who suffer. You reach out to them. You bring healing to them, even casting out the demonic spirits, 7 of them, out of Mary Magdalene. Her life also teaches us that we're all worthy because Jesus died for all. So, Father, within this room, even right now, if there are those that have never felt the call of Jesus on their life, would you call them? Would you make it so compelling that they cannot say no as they have over the years? But they readily say, yes, 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 I want Jesus. Then for those who are in tough situations, situations that some of us would say, I just can't stand. Would you, Lord, give them the strength and the courage this day to seek you with all their heart and to stand firm in the promises of God that are yes and amen. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.